Thank you all for inviting me to today. First, I want to do a sound check. Does it sound okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Good to see you all. Glad to be meeting people here in the area. Part of the excitement of moving up here to Victoria from California was knowing that there was a really well-organized sangha with people very interested in the Dharma. So that plus this slightly elevated sunshine in Victoria were like the two focusing parts, that there was good sangha there and maybe just a tad more sunshine to draw a Californian up here. But the major reason I moved up here was to be with my wife, Christina Barre. So good to see you all. I'm going to click through some pages every now and then so I can start to get to know you by face. I look forward to maybe rounding this corner with this pandemic and then having in-person retreats where over the many months and years of getting to practice together, I'll get to know you all better. But it's exciting. It's exciting to be here in the area and have a chance to at least start to get to know you all and maybe for you to start to get to know me as well. So I have been practicing for about 30 years, and about 10 years into my practice, I did go over and live in Burma for a year and got to work with two different Burmese meditation teachers, both very renowned at the time. And they taught me their versions, two different versions of mindfulness of breathing, and they both held this practice of mindfulness of breathing in very high regard. And they had stronger faith in the practice that it alleviates all suffering than any of my American teachers had. My American teachers had great faith in it. But when I sat with these two Burmese teachers, not only did they have personal faith plus the conviction of the community around them, they also had 1,000 years of Buddhism thriving in Burma. And then they were standing in the stream of the Buddha's teachings, 2,600 years of teaching. And as I've gotten to know this Buddhist tradition longer and read some of the original texts more and practice more, I've also seen now, after many decades of practice, that mindfulness of breathing really is the main highway of awakening. There are many other practices that help round out our awakening, that help settle us, that help soothe us, that help start untangling this tangled ball of yarn of our minds and our habits. So there are many kinds of practice, and hopefully over the many times we get to practice together, I can share some things that really haven't come over the Pacific Ocean yet to our insight world here in North America. But one thing that was true back then and has just become more and more clear as I've practiced, that our fundamental insight meditation practice is body oriented. And as a Western culture, we're actually very fascinated with the mind. I think it's one of the reasons that we like insight meditation is that there's so much mental investigation. And the mental investigation is really interesting. It is how we untangle habits of the mind. But it's not possible to really untangle the habits of the mind if we haven't opened up a relationship to our bodies. One of the reasons that is our mental habits don't just happen up in our minds. It's not just the moods or the ways we think. As our minds, our subjective experience of our minds is going through every waking day, there's a reflection of our moods and our emotions and our mental habits in how our nervous system is being used down in our bodies. And so many of our entangled habits of fear or ambition or competitiveness or insecurities or states of deep happiness, they also get reflected down in the nervous system as it innervates our body. And so, even though as a dominant North American culture, we're not that embodied, we don't have an emphasis that we would reinforce every day to be more body aware. That makes us a little bit top heavy. I feel like North American practice is sort of like the Seattle Space Needle, very wide at the top and surprisingly thin underneath. And so much of what we're going to be doing today and needs to be done over the many days and weeks and months, if not years of our practice, is to open up what's underneath the restaurant at the top and the viewing deck of the Space Needle. So not to have such a spindly relationship to this animal underneath where the dominant amount of our attention is. We're very visually oriented as a species. So we have to train for that. That's not a given. I think little children are much more embodied. They're really interested in their bodies. But as we grow, much more of our attention goes up to our visual and intellectual and cognitive experience, and we actually get a little disconnected from our bodies. So then it's an interesting thing that the core practice of this tradition is to reopen. Re-innervate our attention down back through our bodies. And that does several things. One, it just reproportions ourselves so we're not so caught up in the endless complexities our minds can conjure up. So it reproportions ourselves back down to have a body. It gives us a refuge outside of our mental experience by having the refuge of the breath, the refuge of your body, feeling your torso, feeling your limbs. As we descend into the body, we also begin unhooking stress patterns that have been locked down into our bodies. And that's a huge part of our transformation through practice, is learning not just to relax our minds, but more deeply relax our bodies and let go of unconscious habitual holding patterns. And then finally, with the breath and the body, we don't have to leave them someday and learn about the Dharma high up in the mind again. The Buddha said everything that needs to be understood about the Dharma he was teaching, whether it was for immediate well-being, for intermediate self-mastery, or for final liberation, can actually be found in this fathom-long body. So all the Dharma that we're trying to understand in terms of what our deepest happiness is related to and what our suffering is tied up in actually is discovered in our bodies. And I think that would have been shocking to me when I first started out, that I would spend so much time feeling a breath, because the feeling of breath doesn't change that much. It's felt in your torso and ribs expand and cool air comes in, warm air goes out. So it doesn't change that much. And yet, spending more and more time in the refuge of simple breathing, in the refuge of feeling my body, the lived experience of my body, would continue to keep being the foundation of my happiness. So, I wouldn't have guessed that when I first started. I would have thought at some point I would graduate out of this to something more amazing. And it turns out what is actually amazing is living in your body with awareness of your mind, but never actually departing from the body as a foundation, which is what I wanted to teach today in the Anapanasati practices, which is mindfulness of breathing. In those practices, every instruction of meditation begins with while breathing in, I notice this, while breathing out, I notice that. And then the next instruction is while breathing in, I contemplate this, while breathing out, I contemplate that. And so the entire way from just beginning all the way through the development of liberation has this refrain, while breathing in, while breathing out, while breathing in, while breathing out. And so this teaching of Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, I discovered through a lot of practice and study was actually the framing that the breath isn't something you graduate from, isn't something that marks you as a beginner if you're just doing breath awareness. Not only does it take you all the liberation, but after liberation, whatever that may be, it tends to be what people practice even after they become fully liberated. And it was the Buddha's favorite practice was mindfulness of breathing, even after he was fully awakened. So that's a good plug. Hopefully gets a little inspiration for the day. Mindfulness of breathing. Unless you know it, it might be like, really, a whole day? Okay, yeah, I'll give it a go. But you're actually getting on quite an incredible vessel with mindfulness of breathing that can be the foundation of how you untangle some of the worst stress patterns we have and how we actually nurture some of the most liberating experiences you'll ever have is actually mindfulness of breathing. So, turning more practically, what we're going to do today during sitting meditation, I'll guide you through mindfulness of breathing, and then give us time to just practice it. During the walking period, we're going to do mindfulness of the body. And since the breath is in the body, you can continue doing mindfulness of breathing while walking. For many people, it's a good counterbalance when walking to not just try to feel their breath, but to walk and put the weight of your attention inside your lived body experience while walking. I'll describe that more when we get to our first walking period. But that's what we'll be alternating back and forth today formally. Mindfulness of breathing and body awareness when sitting, and then mindfulness of the body and maybe a little bit of mindfulness of breathing when walking. Those will be our formal meditations. Mindfulness of breathing can be summed up very simply. In case too many words come out today or while you're practicing, it's not clear. Mindfulness of breathing can be summed up in when I breathe in, I was aware I was breathing in. When I breathed out, I was aware I breathed out. And I practiced letting go. So, three things. When you're breathing in, be aware you're breathing in. When you're breathing out, be aware you're breathing out. And generally have a practice of letting go of experience. So, the awareness of breathing draws you in. The awareness of breathing out is also attentive. So, you're training your attention to come in. But you're also learning not to get stuck on anything that you're experiencing. And this is really what the Buddhist practice of mindfulness is one part deepening intimacy and one part letting go while you're becoming more intimate. You're not becoming intimate to collect things. You're becoming intimate and letting go so you can be intimate with the next thing, you can experience the next thing. So, if we're going to be practicing this using the breath as how we practice, being letting the experience of the breath improve intimacy, this moment by moment, this is what this breath feels like. So, that will wake us up and draw us into experience with this attitude of relaxation and letting go. And those are what you're going to be balancing all through the day. We let go too much, it's a little bit spacey. If we get too caught up in the breath and tracking it, it'll be stressful and fatiguing. So we're going to find this balance all day long between just this breath. What does it feel like? Can I refresh myself to feel another breath? Can I take refuge in one experience of breathing? That's the waking up quality. That's the warming quality. And can I have a spirit of relaxation? Can I have a spirit of being in refuge? and the spirit of letting go. That's what we'll be practicing. There are other instructions embedded in mindfulness of breathing, and I'm going to bring them in through the day. And at the end of the day, we're going to bring out the map and look at all the things we've practiced and how they fit on a particular Buddhist map of meditative development. But just so we don't, again, get too heady and look at the map, the big map, let's have the experiences first and practice feeling our breath, being inside our bodies.